following is a presentation of Inspire Church of Skagit Valley.
Last Sunday, we're in a series here. I'm talking about foundations. I'm talking about really the whole idea of God is. I think we need to come to a real clear understanding. There are many, many people who believe in God, right? We understand here a little concept. In the book of James, it says, even the demons believe in God and they tremble. So we have to understand it's not necessarily important, crucial for me to believe in God as much as it is really to build a foundation of not only I believe in God, but build a foundation of who He is. Okay? God is out there or He's in my heart, and we talked about that last Sunday. But the idea I want to impress upon every one of us is that God has characteristics that if we believe in them and begin to adhere to them and embrace them, they build an incredibly strong foundation in our life. Just believing in God probably will not build a good foundation. But when I believe in God and that He's a good Father, and that He is loving, and He is gentle, and He is gracious, and all of the characteristics of God, when I begin to embrace that, that begins to build a foundation in my life, that when things happen, and those mountains come in my life, those phone calls from doctors come, I'm not going to be shaken, because why? I have a faith. Remember that verse, Psalm 112. I have settled in my mind. I'm not going to live in fear of bad news. Why? I've settled in my mind Jehovah is God. I've settled it. I've settled who He is. I made Him the foundation of my life. And when I make Him the foundation of my life, I don't have to worry about being shaken. Why? Because He's there with me. My wife had an interesting thing happen to her this week. In that on Monday, she received a phone call that her mom had been taken to the hospital. The emergency room, she was feeling very dizzy and very disoriented and some other physical issues. And so Becca took off and drove down there quickly to Kirkland at Evergreen Hospital to meet with her. Becca told me that as soon as she got there, mom just kind of settled down. And that whenever a doctor or nurse would come in, mom would look over at Becca and Becca would squeeze her hand and she'd calm down again. She had to be transported from Evergreen Hospital to Overlake, and Becca had to ride in the ambulance with her. And the whole time she was riding with her, mom was holding her hand, and it would continually look over at her. And as soon as she'd look over to Becca, she'd go, she had settled down. And that was the process that took place all of Monday until they were able to take her back to her assisted care facility. It was like as long as Becca was near, listen to me, mom felt comfortable. Last Sunday, I shared the thought with you that we have to keep understanding that in this whole foundation of our life, when we believe in God, we must believe that one simple truth. Listen, church, God's near. We don't have to. You know, Psalm 23 says it, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? You're with me. He's with me. Whatever you're going through, wherever you are, what's ever happening, I promise to you, my belief in God is great, but my belief that God is near me is even greater and builds a much stronger foundation for me. I have to understand here that. Today we're going to talk about, or last Sunday we talked about God is near. Say it with me. God is near. God is near. Let me just stop just for a moment. God's near right now. God's near you. In your frustrations, in your challenges, in your questions, in your confusions, in the hustle and bustle of everything, God's near right now to you, to us. Wow. That should comfort. Whoops. There we go. That should comfort us, shouldn't it? To think God is the God of the universe. Let's move on here. Next, today I want to talk about the reality and the presence of the Holy Spirit, the part of the Holy Spirit that we need to talk about as far as being a guide and able to talk to us. Next Sunday, of course, Easter, I want to talk about the aspect of Jesus. I love this thought. Jesus is my cornerstone. Okay? Bible says that the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. We're going to talk about that again. And the Sunday after that, God is, and I love this, I'm going to have fun with this one, I think. God is coming again, ready or not. Sunday the 23rd, I believe it is. Yeah, anyhow. So let's talk about the Holy Spirit real quick this morning on this, all right? As it relates to providing a solid foundation for my life. Okay, we're talking again about foundations. How many of you were alive in 2003 when we had that earthquake? Okay, it was interesting. I was looking outside of a window while the earthquake was happening, and I looked at my Jeep, and my Jeep was going like this. It was a little shaky ground. Have you ever walked across a footbridge, across a chasm? That's been real shaky. Okay, that's what I'm talking about. How many of you know that Jordan Spieth got off to a shaky start in the Masters? But he's going to come through and win. Okay? All right. How many of you know the Mariners are off to a shaky start? Okay, shaky, okay? Here's what I'm telling you. Belief in God and not just who he is, but what he brings with him will provide us a strong foundation that no matter how shaky things may be out there, God will be his firm foundation for us because of who he is, all right? Number three things about the Holy Spirit. Number one, the Holy Spirit is throughout the Bible. I'm going to give you a real quick little Bible study here, so bear with me, but I need to understand you to understand this. We sometimes relegate the Holy Spirit to just the book of Acts. But the Holy Spirit was around before the book of Acts. The book of Acts just introduces him. But he was around from the very beginning. It's kind of like, you know, it's like you go to a big event and there's a big meal and everyone is excited about the big meal and you know, the roast was delicious and the mashed potatoes and the asparagus spears and the salad and the dessert, everything was just so good. And the very end, they say, hey, let's bring out the cooks and the chef. And they come out and you all applaud. Okay? It's like the whole Bible was moving forward and Acts says, hey, let's bring out the Holy Spirit now because he's the one that's also been involved in this whole thing. Okay? So let's talk about it. He's been around the whole time. Walk with me through this Bible study here, a little bit behind the scenes issue. Genesis 1:2, the earth was formless and empty, darkness over the surface of the deep. Notice, and the Spirit of God was hovering. Genesis 1:2. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, verse 2, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Holy Spirit was present, Genesis 1:2. Exodus 35:30 talks about a man by the name of Bezalel, son of Uri. He has filled him with the Spirit of God. We see that in the workmanship of the temple and the tabernacle. We see it in the David's house, the house of God. We see it, the tremendous talents given by the Spirit. And we see many times through the Judges, chapter 6, then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. We see the Holy Spirit of God coming upon individuals throughout the Old Testament. The Holy Spirit came with power. Psalm 139, we love this psalm, but it says, where can I go from your Spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? Holy Spirit, David was aware of the presence of the Holy Spirit. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2, in the prophetic word regarding the coming of the Messiah, the Spirit of the Lord, prophesied in the book of Isaiah, Spirit talks about the Spirit of the Lord will rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of power, the Spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord, and he will delight in the fear of the Lord. So the Holy Spirit is prophesying about how the Spirit is going to come upon the coming Messiah. We see that happening. The great prophetic word in Joel chapter 2, verse 28. And afterward I will what? Pour out my Spirit upon all people. Prophesied in Joel 2. Matthew 28:19, we're also familiar with. Go therefore and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and what? Holy Spirit. Mark chapter 1 verse 8, I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. By the way, if you've never been baptized in water, we're having a water baptism on Sunday morning, May 7th. Okay? Please take note. If you've never been baptized in water, you know of someone, encourage them. Sunday morning, May 7th. By the way, Sunday night, May 7th, there will also be a memorial for Joel and Becca's sister, JL, right here at the church. Okay? So when you want to get that out, we decided to have a memorial. Many people were concerned or a little saddened because they were not able to go to Richland for JL's celebration service. So there will be one here on Sunday night, May 7th at 6 o'clock. So you can tell people and come and join us. It'll be a great evening of celebration. Anyhow, okay? Acts chapter 1, verse 8, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes. I love this verse. Romans chapter 8. If you want to read about the power of the Holy Spirit present in our lives today, read Romans 8. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, and he is, somebody say amen. Okay, Spirit of God is living in us. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to our mortal bodies through his Spirit. Notice, who lives in you. That same Holy Spirit was Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. That same Holy Spirit, according to Romans chapter 8, verse 11, is living in us today. Man, think about that one with me. And then, of course, the last one, Revelation 2, verse 7. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit. We see, read about in Revelation chapter 2 and 3 about the 11 letters to the seven churches. And let the Spirit of the Lord say, the Spirit of the Lord is working even in the end times, speaking to the churches. So we see the Holy Spirit all the way from Genesis to Revelations. It's all there. Did anybody get that? Okay, I just wanted to see. But anyhow, okay, we see the Holy Spirit not just aware in the book of Acts, but all the way from Genesis. So there's an awareness of the Holy Spirit. Let's look, number two. I love this. The Holy Spirit is the perfect package. Holy Spirit is just the perfect package. My daughter, Lindsay, is an interesting young lady. She's probably one of my most favorite people to be with on the planet. Because she's kind of halfway nuts. Okay? Like father, like daughter, go ahead, somebody's going to say it. So, but one thing about Lindsay that is just amazing to me, she always carries a purse. And I tell you, God, I don't know how many women in here carry purses like this one, but this purse has everything. It has nail clippers, it has mints. It even has hidden candy bars in it. It has Band-Aids, it has, of course, her makeup. I mean, if we're ever driving in a car, I say, oh, man, I need this. Oh, just a minute. And she'll open a purse, and for some reason, it's there. Okay? Any husbands, I'll ask you, do any of your husbands have wives that have a purse like that? No? Really? Oh, never mind. Sorry. That's sad. Okay. But Lindsay's purse is like the doorway to the Chronicles of Narnia. You open up it. Whoa! Look at it. It's like an amazing thing, you know? Okay? Open it up. A woman has her purse. You know, a guy, you know, I looked at one. A guy has a Leatherman. Just a full meal. He's got everything right here. You know, it's all right there. A builder has a tool belt. An attorney has his briefcase. And listen, the follower of Christ has the Holy Spirit. Everything that we need. The Bible says that he has given to us everything that we need for life and godliness through the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Now, please understand, the Holy Spirit, I'm not talking about the Holy Spirit here and the evidence of speaking in tongues. Please, I don't want to say disassociate, but don't think that's where I'm going. I'm going there because the Holy Spirit of Genesis 1-2 is also inside of us. Okay? Speaking in tongues is an outward evidence of the presence of the Holy Spirit. I'm just talking about every one of us having the presence of the Holy Spirit, the full meal deal in every one of us. The same power that raised Christ from the dead dwells in us. That's the same Holy Spirit. Okay? So let's not just say, Holy Spirit, oh, tongues, I don't believe in that, or that's not for today, or whatever. The Holy Spirit is still for us today, in us and through us. Please accept that and understand that here this morning. Again, 2 Peter, his divine power has given us everything we need, his Holy Spirit. Look at this incredible verse, okay? John chapter 14. Got it on the screen for me, my friend? Yep, there. Oh, I love this verse. If any one of you ever have a difficulty in believing in the Trinity, look at this verse. You see it all. First of all, Jesus is speaking. If you love me, you will obey what I command, and I will ask the Father. So we see God the Father, God the Son is speaking, and he will give you another what? Counselor. That's the Holy Spirit. Okay? To be with you forever. Somebody say forever. Woohoo! The Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him or knows him, but you know him for what? He lives in you, with you, and will be in you. Talk about the power and the consistency of the Word of God. It's throughout there that the Holy Spirit is in us and with us. All right? We need to grab a hold of that. Now, if you take a look at the word counselor here, I'm going to break that down in this next slide here for you. And I've got to run through this. Please feel free to study this further, but I need to run through this really quick because I want you to see this because I do have a point. Okay? Notice if you were to look at the different definitions of the names of the Holy Spirit under the word counselor here, listen to them. Okay, I'm going to run through them. Comforter, which means to cheer and to encourage. Counselor means the Spirit of truth, which teaches and reminds us all of the things about Jesus, is to counsel and assist and advise and support. He is the helper, the one who furnishes it or administers a remedy. Intercessor, he is one who does prayer on our behalf. He is our advocate, the one who is called alongside, called to a person's defense. He is the strengthener. In other words, he adds strength to and he makes one stronger. He is our standby, or he is the person available to, especially in emergencies. Kind of like a Honda generator. Okay? He's there to help in times of emergencies. I don't know about you guys, but when I believe the Holy Spirit is in my life like that, that builds a pretty cotton picking, stinking strong foundation. When I believe that that's who He is, and that and who He is, and not just some ethereal Holy Spirit that's out there, He's the Holy Spirit that's in me. So the Holy Spirit that is the comforter, counselor, helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, and standby, He's in me. What a foundation. So that when I go through challenges out there, I'm going to tap into Him as being my strengthener. I'm going to tap into Him as my advocate. I'm going to tap into Him as my intercessor. Are you following me? Wow. He gives us He's a full meal deal. He's a full package. He not only provides power for us to live a Christian life, He also provides the fruit that the world needs. And again, I got to rush through this. Galatians chapter 5, verse 2. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Can I ask you a question? Does the world need those? Where are those? In us, because the Holy Spirit is in us. That's a pretty good, strong foundation, don't you think? He brings gifts to edify, comfort, and strengthen the church. It's easy to picture. This picture came into my mind when I looked at this verse. And that is, we're in that wonderful age of grandparenthood right now. And I remember Christmases, this past Christmas, we would pack up our car with what? Presents, gifts. And the kids loved seeing us come. Yoo-hoo! Boppy and Button are here. By the way, that's what they call us. I don't know where those names came from, but they call me Boppy and they call Becca Button. I just don't know. But anyhow, they love seeing us come. Why? Because we have gifts. I believe, church, if we could get this grasp, this little thought about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is in us, and we need to get excited about the gifts that He has for us. Okay? Look at them really quickly. Found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Word of wisdom, word of knowledge, faith, gifts of healing, miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, speaking in tongues, interpretation of tongues. Those are His gifts that He puts inside of every one of us. It's not just for one person here, one person. Those gifts are an incredible toolbox in every one of our lives. Let me just ask here, how's that for a foundation? How's that for a foundation? Another one here. He brings skills, talents to help us fulfillment and find fulfillment and purpose. Romans chapter 12, 3 through 8 talks about in every one of us there are the skills or the talents of being able to prophesy or proclaim, teach, serving. There's teaching, there's exhorting, giving, leadership, mercy. We can talk about those a long time. But those are all there to help find fulfillment in my life. I have the gift, and maybe you can halfway tell it sometimes in me. I have the gift. I loved exhorting. I just get excited about being a spiritual cheerleader. Just patting you in the back. You can do this. Come on, baby. Come on. Come on. Let's go out there. We can do this. That's me. Okay? There are other things of this type that are really challenging to me. But I know that I can be a good spiritual exhorter, encourager, because that's the skill, a talent that God has put inside me. And I find incredible fulfillment in that. You guys have them too. Why? Because the same Holy Spirit is in you. Some of you just love to give. Some of you love to teach. Some of you, when there's an issue that happens in your home, you could care less about how someone's feeling. You're going to come back and say, you know what? You fell because of that loop in the carpet. Right there. Mom, get up. Pick up the pie. Come here. Look. That's just you. You're a teacher. You try to get to the bottom line of everything. Right? You have some of those people in your home? Yep. Some of you, like my wife, is just an incredible mercy person. She could care less. But one of the biggest fights we have in our marriage is the fact that I feel so bad. Something happened. This, and she's more sorry for the other person than she is for me. They didn't mean it. They didn't say, Becca, what about me? But that's who we are. That's because the Holy Spirit brings that skill, that gift, that talent inside of us, okay? Now, how's that for a foundation? You look at all of those things, that full meal deal, the full package that the Holy Spirit brings. What an incredible foundation when we begin to tap into that. And how do we tap into it? Glad you asked. Point three. Okay? The Holy Spirit is simply available 24/7. Holy Spirit is available 24/7. Let me see if I can explain something. Here it is. If I was to be able to do this, if I was smarter with technology, I would have been able to put this on the screen. But it is what it is. If I just were to have one line from point A to point B, that would be a line that would be linear, correct? If I were to add one line coming out this way, that would be two-dimensional, and it would be called a plane, correct? Now, if I add another one, I got zoop, zoop, and I put another one up here, I have three dimensions, and I have a cube, correct? Here, this is where we live in a cube world. Past, present, future. We live in a threefold body, soul, spirit. We live in this threefold, powerful world. Now, follow me with this. When we get saved, follow me. Please follow this. When we get saved, we give our lives to Christ. All of a sudden, that three-dimensional turns four-dimensional because we have the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit to help us in our three-dimensional world. There's a fourth dimension. Pastor Younggi Cho, pastor of the largest church in the world, has written a book called The Fourth Dimension. And he talks about that here. And I want us to hear very much this morning. It's called Life in the Spirit. You know, it's not, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about life in the Spirit, where the Spirit is available to speak to us and give us wisdom, give us direction, give us counsel, give us guidance, give us words, whatever. When you're reading the Bible, it's the Holy Spirit that can make the Bible come alive to you. That's a new dimension of life begins to happen when we tap into the Holy Spirit. We move into this arena, this atmosphere, and this freedom to tap into the Holy Spirit. We move into, not only is this, now follow this when we're closed, not only is this God near, but this God, and I know you've heard this, but think about it with me. This God wants to communicate with me. How does he communicate with me? Through this fourth dimension, the spirit world, his Holy Spirit speaking to my heart. You see, I think this truth provides a further foundation because of this. I don't have to do my world alone. I have the Holy Spirit to help me. I don't have to go to my job and deal with the circumstances there by myself. Holy Spirit's there with me. Holy Spirit can give to me the words. I just have to listen. I have to stay tuned and I have to stay in touch and I stay sensitive too. Can I ask you a question? Why, if, let's just say, let's not talk about the Mariners right now. Okay. Whew, Jesus help them. But anyhow, other than that, let's talk about Seahawks. Okay. If the Seahawks are such incredibly professional athletes, why do they need a preseason? Why can't they just go in 1st of September and play the first game and go? Think about it. My answer is this. They have to get tuned in. They have to get tuned in. They have to get their passes or their runs or their blocks. They have to get them all tuned in and begin to work together. But they have to get themselves tuned in. I believe, friends, sometimes we as Christians get out of tune so that we can't hear the Holy Spirit, because we can't hear his voice, because, and I'm going to be a little personal here, because we get away from church. We get away from Bible reading. We get away from prayer. Because those are pre-season training type things that happen in our lives that help us stay tuned. Have you ever stayed away from church 5 or 6 days, or 5 or 6 maybe months, or you got away from your Bible reading, your prayer? Was it harder for you at that point to hear the voice of the Lord? Why? Because you weren't tuned in. But coming to church and being in a place of worship, being around Christian friends, being in the Bible and reading Bible and pray, all of a sudden, what does that do? That fine-tunes so that, wait a minute, that's the voice of the Lord, and you learn to recognize the voice of the Lord. Two last verses. Isaiah 30, verse 21. Whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, here's the Holy Spirit, this is the way, walk in it. Have you ever had that little voice on your shoulder say, you probably shouldn't go there? You probably shouldn't have said that. Put the Snickers down. Don't order the fourth mocha for the day, you know. Little voices. Aha. Romans, here's another verse in Romans. And piano player, worship team, why don't you come, if you would. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. In the same way, listen. Oh, man, guys, grab a hold of this little one. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes. Here's that intercessor part of the Holy Spirit, with groans that words cannot express. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. Here's the Holy Spirit working, speaking to us in accordance with what God wants for our life. If we want what God wants for our life, stay tuned into the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit will always be speaking that. See, God the Holy Spirit is real. God the Holy Spirit brings packages and gifts. And God the Holy Spirit is available to provide guidance for us. We don't have to do this alone. We have a fourth dimension that is available. As they come, in January, I received an email from a pastor friend of mine. And he told me, he says, "Bill, there's a trip coming to Israel that I'd like to invite you to be a part of. And all expenses paid, all you have to do is pay your way to New York. There are 50 pastors from the West Coast that will be going. I'd like you to be one of them." I looked at my little criteria for determining the will of God. One is the Bible. What does it say in the Bible? Number two, what do godly people say about it? Number three, what does my spirit say? Number four, sometimes I use circumstances. Those are four things, criteria for determining the will of God. I looked at this opportunity to go to the Holy Land. I didn't see anything in the Bible that says, "Thou shalt not go." I called a friend of mine. I said, "Hey, Russ, what do you think?" He said, "Oh, Bill, let's go together." "Oh, cool, my friends." Yeah, dude. In my spirit, we'll scratch that one and we'll go to this one. Circumstantial. Timing was really, according to what I could figure out on my calendar for the dates, everything was perfect. I thought, wow, that's cool. But I couldn't get my spirit right. I told him I would go. I said, "Yep, John, I'll be there. Sign me up. I'll get everything ready to roll." As soon as I pressed send on the email, I felt sick inside. I thought, this makes no sense. At all. Been wanting to go to the Holy Land all my ministry. All expenses paid. Dude, I can pay a trip to New York. The next morning, I said, "Well, maybe this was bad lasagna. Whatever. I'll feel better in the morning." Come on, you guys have said the exact same thing, right? "God, I don't like the decision you just gave to me, so I'm going to wait for a couple days. Maybe you'll change." Okay? And so the next thing happens. I get up the next morning. I go to my computer. I see his email, and I still feel sick inside. I said, "Okay, God." I type him back, "John, I just don't feel right about this. Scratch my name from the list." And all of a sudden, what'd you feel? Peace. I'm going, "God, this doesn't make any sense." I couldn't figure it out. Until JL got so sick. And I realized that the Holy Land trip would have been the exact same week as she was so sick and the week that she passed away. Wow. And I looked at that and I thought, wow, God, you knew exactly what was happening way back in January. And your Holy Spirit told me about it and warned me. I'm here to tell you here this morning, I think, church, we need to learn how to listen to the Holy Spirit more in our lives. Because I think he can keep us out of a lot of trouble and keep us from making a lot of bad decisions if we just learn to listen. But the learning to listen is a prerequisite for being in his, or I should say it's a result of being in his presence and learning to be in touch with him. Bow your heads with me this morning.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from Inspire Church. For more audio and video content, check out icskagitvalley.org.